Praise God. Lord, we thank you. We thank you that you are a merciful God. We thank you that we can put our trust in you. And we do need you. We need your mercy. We need your forgiveness. We need your strength. Thank you that you're always there, that you always make a way, that you always provide for us. Lord, as we open up your word today, I just pray that we will see how to serve you in a greater and more perfect way. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
We watched a movie a couple of weeks ago. And by now you must be thinking, man, all they ever do is watch movies. But I had heard about this somewhere a long time ago, and I thought, well, I don't know, that sounds like kind of a similar concept. Maybe we should watch it and see what it is. Well, it didn't turn out to be such a good example, but it actually did bring out some good points. It's about a 15-year-old movie. Did you ever see the movie Pay It Forward? It's about a history teacher, a little boy that gives an assignment and basically do something good for somebody else without expecting any payment. Basically, pay it forward and tell them to go do something for somebody else to pay you back. It's a nice sentiment, and you know, at the end of the movie, well, I don't know if I'm gonna give the whole thing away, although I don't really recommend it. This is something you should watch. But at the end of the movie, all these people, you know, this great change is sweeping, and all these people are doing these wonderful things for each other. You know, it does make some recognitions of things that are real, things that are true. It recognizes that we have a problem. One of the lines in the movie, I won't repeat it the way they said it, but the world's got problems. And it doesn't take a Christian to figure out that the world's got problems. All you got to do is look around you. The problem is that they suggest, as anyone who doesn't know the Lord, they suggest solutions that don't work. And it's not that the things in themselves are necessarily bad. I mean, what do we say every week? Go out and do something good for somebody, right? The problem is that that's not the whole message. You know, when we do things that are in God's plan, when we do good things that God wants us to do, even if we don't understand why we're doing it, God's concepts work, even for people who don't believe in Him. But the problem is they don't save us. And that also illustrated to me why using pop culture for my sermons is probably not a good idea. But the reason why I went down that path was it seemed to be about expressing mercy. And that is something that we're commanded to do. Jesus said, "Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy." How do we do that? Mercy starts with love. And out of love comes compassion. And out of compassion comes forgiveness. We're made in God's image. And so we do things the way that He does them. He is our perfect example, right? Today I'll try to offer some practical advice. But the problem with practical advice, this just hit me as I was looking over this stuff. What's the root of the word practical? Practice, right? If you're giving practical advice, you're saying these are the things you can actually do. And that's a good thing. But what we tend to do is we tend to take those things, those practices, and make them into formulas and decide that if we can just check off all the boxes and go through the formula, then we got it made. But that was the mistake that the Pharisees made. They thought that if they just kept all the laws just perfectly, that would take care of it. But God is interested in what? Relationship. And His Word is our source. So let's go to the Word today. The passage that I just quoted is, of course, out of the famous Sermon on the Mount. Matthew chapter 5, verse 7. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. How in the world do we get there? We get there, first of all, with love. I want to take you back to the verse that we, the passage that we studied the last time I got up here, and just read a part of it. Ephesians chapter 2. We'll start in verse 4. But God, being rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our transgressions, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with him, and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the ages to come he might show the surpassing riches of his grace and kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. God is rich in mercy because of his love. And love has to be our motivation. You almost knew I would say that, right? Let's go back to another familiar passage that we've read several times before in Matthew chapter 22. And this is when Jesus was asked, what's the greatest commandment? And so he said this. He said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the great and foremost commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself.
Amen.
Okay, that still leaves the question open. All right, how do I get there? Well, we've already spoken today, and we didn't plan this, but I love what Linda had to say about pursuing relationship with the Lord, about taking that time out to pray, to read his word. Because when we pursue a relationship with him, when we actively seek that out, you know, when you fall in love with somebody, now some of us can remember that, right? We fell in love. We would not miss an opportunity for the world to spend time with that person, would we? We would make up opportunities. We would call them and just anything we could do to come up with some reason why we needed to talk to them or we needed to be with them. Because that's all we wanted. That's the kind of relationship we ought to have with our Creator. And that's what he wants with us. And as we strive to please, the other thing we tended to do during that phase, we ought to keep it on doing it, but maybe we don't do it as well as we used to. We're always trying to please the other person. We're trying to do things that they like, that makes them happy. I want to be doing things that make my God happy.
Amen.
As we seek to do those things, the result is that we start to take after his heart. We start to do the things that he does. We start to act like him, right? He says, blessed are the merciful. That word there, we talked a little bit about the word study last time. That word, as it's used there, is active. In other words, you can't be merciful just by feeling pity for somebody. Or by saying nice words. It means you have to do something. It's more than words. James, of course, talking about physical needs, we're all familiar with James chapter 2, verses 15 and 16, where he says, if a brother or sister is without clothing and in need of daily food, and one of you says to them, go in peace, be warm, be filled, and yet you do not give them what is necessary for their body, what good is that? But mercy necessitates some kind of action. And mercy also expresses itself in the forgiveness of wrongs done. Just a few verses back from that, in verse 13, he says, this. He says, for judgment will be merciless to one who has shown no mercy. Mercy triumphs over judgment. Forgiveness. Love opens the door. Love makes it possible for us to forgive. 1 Peter 4:8 says, above all, keep fervent in your love one for another, because love covers a multitude of sins. When we know somebody, when we love somebody, when they do something that upsets us, we're much more likely, aren't we, to put that in light of the things that we know about them. Or perhaps even, though we know the things that aren't good, we love them, so we overlook it. And we move on. Love covers a multitude of sins. And aren't we glad, aren't we grateful that God's love covers our multitude of sins?
Amen.
Forgiveness is necessary. You all know the story. Won't read through the whole story again. But forgiveness is necessary. Forgiveness from our heart is necessary. You remember the story? I think Pastor preached on it even more recently in Matthew 18, where the man is called before his master, the slave is called before his master. He owes him so much money that in two lifetimes he could not pay it back. And he begs him and he forgives him. And then he goes out and finds somebody that owes him, I've heard it said, might not have been any more than $100. And grabs him by the throat, insists that he pay him back, and throws him in prison. Because you could do that back then if somebody owed you money, you'd throw him in debtor's prison. And he's thrown in there until he could pay. And so the other servants go and they tell the master what happened. Then in verse 32, he starts out, then summoning him, his Lord said to him, you wicked slave, I forgave you all that debt because you pleaded for me. Should you not also have had mercy on your fellow slave in the same way that I had mercy on you? And his Lord, moved with anger, handed him over to the torturers until he should pay all that was owed him. My heavenly Father will also do the same to you if each of you does not forgive his brother from his heart. I don't know about you, but that's hard for me to read because it brings up some questions. What is it? What happened here? Is this the unpardonable sin? If I'm holding on to forgiveness, I'm not forgiven? But this is what I think, and this is pure, this is not based on any deep theological study, but this is what I think. I think that if we have got our hearts so hard that we cannot let go of bitterness that we're holding on to, that maybe the change has not happened in our heart that needs to happen. And I'm not going to accuse anyone or say anything to anyone, but I'm just going to say, examine your heart. Examine your heart, see if you've really given it to the Lord, if you can't let that go. Now, is it easy? No, it's not easy. We'll talk about that more in a minute. But we've got to make the start. We've got to make the effort. What does it look like for us? It starts with love. Now, perfect love, I believe, is more than feeling. It's more than action. It's all of it. Perfect love involves emotion. It involves action. It involves devotion. Perfect love is all of that. Guess what? We don't have perfect love. So, sometimes we've got to make choices. Love acts. And one can choose to love. You can choose to love when you're not necessarily feeling it. You'll have to. You're going to go through times in your relationship when that's all you've got. You've got to just, you're not feeling it. And if that's true in people that you really do love and you really do want to work through it with, how much more is it true with your enemies? But what does God say? Matthew chapter 5, 43-45. You've heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be sons of your Father who is in heaven. For he causes his sun to rise on the evil and the good, and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. Love has to be expressed. And I think the key here in that verse, how we get to that point, is the prayer. How can, if we are sincerely, genuinely, and this is a lesson for me too. You know, I say a lot of things over and over again. I've noticed that over the years. I think I do that for one of two reasons. I do that because, for one thing, it's something God's working with me in my own life, trying to teach me, and I still haven't got it. You know, I've got to go through it again. But also, I think that, you know, those are things that are messages that have been given to me specifically to speak as well. But prayer is the key here, I think, to how we do that. And that's why it says, pray for those who persecute. Because if we're praying for somebody, that means we're spending time focusing on their well-being. We're praying good things for them, right? So if we are praying good things for somebody who's our enemy, eventually something's got to happen in our heart where we're not thinking of them. They may never stop being our enemy. Unfortunately, God has given us free will, and they may use theirs never to change. But we don't have to be in that same, we don't have to be affected by that or have that rule our lives. We can decide to love. We can decide to pray. Like I said, that's a lesson for me. That's something that I want to take home and think about the more I talk about it. Pray. And that then leads, that love, that focus leads to compassion. And to meeting the needs of others. Now, sometimes that's physical, sometimes it's not. One thing that we have to be careful of is that we're not just doing things in a condescending way because we think we're somehow better than the people that we're helping. We talked about that a lot this summer. We're not. We're all the same. We all have different strengths and weaknesses. But there's always somebody worse off than we are. There's always somebody that we can do something for, even if it's just an encouraging word. It's often more than that. The greatest need that people have, wherever they are, whoever they are, the greatest need that any of us have is salvation. Can we say that we love anyone if we're not seeing to that need first of all? And I'm thinking right now about a friend of mine that I've known for years and never can seem to come out and ask you the straight-up question. But if I claim to love him, do I not? Why would I not bring up the most important subject that's ever been brought up to anyone, anywhere? If you go by and you see a burning building, I had this analogy put into my head at one point of being at work, and my coworkers are all sitting in their cubes and there's flames burning all around them, and they're just sitting there tapping away. Wouldn't I do something? I mean, even if I think there's nothing I can do, shouldn't I at least call 911 and get somebody who can? What if you have somebody that needs a life-saving medicine and all you have to do is go and get it? But you don't give it to them. You don't do anything about it. People are all around us like that, folks. Sin acts like a disease, and it is a deadly disease. It will kill you unless you get the cure. And yet, we don't give it the seriousness that it deserves. I'm as guilty as anybody. It's the greatest expression of love that you could ever show to make sure whatever else is going on in their lives, make sure that everybody you know knows Jesus as much as you possibly can. Ultimately, it's between them and God. You can only do so much. But you do everything you can. Because that's the only thing that matters. And that's how we express love. Perfect love, John, 1 John says, and that's not up there. Perfect love casts out fear, he said. I know I've told this before, but I don't know who all was here, so I'll tell it again. Reminds me of a story, though, kind of funny, of a wedding. A couple, a baker that was asked to make a wedding cake, and they didn't know their Bible, so they were asked to make a cake with 1 John 4:18 on it, the verse that we were just talking about. There's no fear in love, perfect love casts out fear. But they didn't know the Bible, and so they lost the first part of it. They just got John 4:18 on there. And that says, you've had five husbands, and the one you have now is not your husband. But forgiveness. Forgiveness is a choice. And it's not easy. I tell you from experience, and I know there's not anybody in here who has not been hurt at some point in their lives, because we live in an imperfect world with imperfect people, and it's just going to happen.
Amen.
I hope and pray that everyone hasn't had the kind of mortal woundings that I'm afraid most of us have, but it's probably going to happen. And it's not easy to get over that. It's not easy to forgive. No one ever said it was, but I'll tell you what you do. You make a decision every day. Every time those thoughts come into your head about what you would like to do or what you would like to see happen to them, you stop and you say, no, Lord, I don't feel it. I still want those things, but I'm going to make the decision. I'm going to say the words, I forgive. And you know what? He'll honor that. And over time, it'll become something real in your heart. You know, it's not only the big things, though, that we need to forgive. Sometimes it's the little things, too.
Amen.
The slights that we get from people who we love, who we think should know better, that we get offended about. Those of us who are dealing with some kind of disability, we get extra opportunity sometimes to maybe let stuff go. People do all kinds of silly stuff. If you hadn't personally experienced it, you've probably seen it, because we've all been around people. If we're not personally facing a disability, we've all been around people, and you see the silly things that people do. My goodness. Most of the time they mean well. Occasionally somebody's truly malicious, but most of the time they mean well. I put it very starkly the last time I talked about this, and I'll say it again. If Jesus nailed up on that cross, having been beaten and abused beyond what any of us can truly imagine, can say, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. Don't you think that we can overlook some of the silly little things that happen to us and maybe learn to forgive?
Amen.
Maybe take those times as opportunities to help them, educate them a little bit. Forgiveness is necessary. So as we come to the closing today, God's mercy expresses itself through His love, which leads to compassion, which leads to His forgiveness, of which we are all beneficiaries. And since we're made in the image of God, that's how we do it. We act in the same way. We're motivated by our love, which leads to having compassion for people, which brings us to the ability to forgive. That's my prayer, that as we go about our lives, that we will be able to show mercy as we have been shown mercy, so that we can be blessed as individuals, and as a church. Thank you, Lord. Thank you so much for the mercy that you show to us, for the good things that you've poured out upon us. Lord, I pray that we would be empowered, that we would be encouraged, that your Holy Spirit, Lord, would reveal to us the ways in which we can be merciful, that we can bring your life, bring your gospel, bring that good news to everyone that we know. Lord, that your kingdom will grow, and that we can bring as many as possible with us when it's time to come see you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.